It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
So a number of years ago, a man walked into my office and said, look, I'm here on a conference. I know we didn't schedule, but I have a quick and very important question I want to ask you. If you were to share with me the most important counsel that you could ever give me outside of the fact that I need to be born again, I know this is a difficult question. What will you say? I said, it's not as difficult as you think. The answer is very clear in Scripture. Outside of your salvation, well, the most important thing you must master, and I kid you not, outside of the intricacies of salvation, is the importance of relationships. Why? Because when God wants to move in your life, He often does it how? Through people. He didn't send an angel to save us. He became a man. He became a person to save men. That tells us something. If we want to succeed, we must learn how to manage, how to lead, how to nurture the relationships God places around us. Prayer is powerful. I kid you not. But you cannot use prayer to hide from the need to grow in relationship management. You cannot use fasting to replace the need to learn how to master relationships. That saying that you have, but God knows my personality, is what is killing you. If you cannot talk to people, forgive people, resolve conflicts, read moments well, your success will constantly stall. Relationships are the channels through which God delivers help, delivers opportunities, and even instructions. Look, in if I'm not mistaken, Luke chapter 5, the apostles had caught nothing. Yet the Bible tells us in that Luke chapter 5, they had caught nothing all night. But the Bible tells us that they were washing their nets. Think of that as them maintaining their networks. It had not yet caught anything, but irrespective, they were maintaining their nets. Or to adapt that to our own counsel for today, they were maintaining their networks. They didn't neglect their tools just because there was no breakthrough that night. No, not at all. In the same way, we must keep our relationship nets clean and intact even before the big harvest shows up. Proverbs gives us another perspective. It says, when you sit with the king, put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite. In today's terms, this means manage yourself in the presence of influence. Control your words. Control your emotions. Control your impulses. I hear too many believers make statements like, if God wants me to have it, I will have it. And so they don't learn how to manage the relationships well. They misbehave. And they say, if that person was truly of the Lord, they will understand that this is how I am. And they would have accepted me like that. Something is wrong with you. To want to demand that we all should adapt to your brokenness is unfair. It is completely unfair. And there will be some people that will. But the best solution is to heal. The best solution is to learn how to manage relationships in spite of your preference. Don't let a moment with someone who could open a door for you be ruined by carelessness or lack of restraint. Joseph understood this. When Pharaoh called him from prison, Joseph didn't complain about being forgotten. He didn't boast about his gift. He wisely suggested a solution. As a matter of fact, Joseph first went and shaved his beard, and because the Egyptians did not appreciate the bearded nature of the Jews, so he shaved his beard such that when he stood in front of Pharaoh, he looked like an Egyptian. Child of God, understand this. When he did that, he was reading the room. His relational wisdom secured him a seat right next to Pharaoh. Your gift, listen, this is a big statement. Your gift may open the door, but it is your ability to handle people that will keep you in the room. Let me say it again. Your gift may open the door, but it is your ability to handle people that will keep you in the room. Jesus also taught us this wisdom. Jesus said, if a king realizes that another king is coming against him with more troops, the wise thing is not to rush into battle, but to negotiate terms of peace. Many of us will find ourselves in that situation. We start binding, start saying, it does not matter. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Did you know that there were times that Jesus stayed in hiding? This is God Almighty in the flesh. He didn't say, my time is not yet here. Nobody can kill me. They want to kill me there. Let me just go there and be braggadocious. And after all, I am God Almighty. Even Jesus knew when it was time to retreat, knew when it was time to hide. Jesus taught us. He said, you've noticed that that person, king coming after you, has more arsenal than you. Why not attempt a negotiation? This is so important. So sometimes wisdom is actually found in humble negotiation. And Jesus didn't leave us an excuse to avoid conflict either. Jesus said, if your brother offends you, go to him directly. Do you know that many of us say, I don't like conflict, I don't like conflict. So you allow situations to get worse. And then when it begins to damage you, you accuse the other person. When things were going out of sync, Jesus said, you have a problem with your brother. He didn't say bury it. He didn't say ignore it. He didn't even say pray about it. Did you notice? Jesus didn't say go and pray about it. Jesus didn't say hand it over to God. Let God handle it. Jesus said, go to your brother and go and have the conversation with your brother. I know for some of us, we're listening to this and we're saying, it's not in every situation. Some situations, just obey the word. Just stop looking for excuses to avoid doing what you are supposed to do. Listen, don't gossip. Don't run. Address the issue. Successful people don't just manage opportunities. They also know how to manage conflicts. Abigail understood this. When David was ready to destroy her husband, that is Nabal's household and all her family, Abigail read the moment, approached David with humility, approached David with gifts, and she diffused his anger. David stopped and said, blessed be your advice and blessed are you. This was the man that was extremely angry. One woman's ability to manage a tense relationship saved her entire family. Sometimes your wisdom in moments of conflict is what will secure your destiny. I read a book many years ago by Sun Tzu. And he said this, and that stayed with me. He said, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. I'm saying again. Sun Tzu said, if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. What does this mean? Know the person you are dealing with. Know yourself. Understand the moment. Most failures in relationships happen not because people are wicked, but because we misread the situation or mishandle the interpretation or the interaction. I'll give you an example. So I went to do a negotiation and the outcome of the negotiation was major. And I just noticed myself and somebody else were trying to negotiate this deal. And I noticed it was just not going our way. They were just adamant. But I noticed that when I stopped talking and allowed the other person to talk so I could observe, I noticed a trend. Whenever we pulled a certain document as a reference point, the main person in charge tensed every time. And this document was our main reference point. We thought it was our grounds to the negotiation. But I noticed that every time, I mean, at some point, it looked like he was grinding his teeth when we mentioned the document. It looked at one point he was holding the table tight. And I thought, okay, there's something he doesn't appreciate about this particular document. So in the end, we couldn't close the deal and we all went home. When I got home, I prepared another email, sent it to them, and the email was simple. I said to them, we will no longer use this in this document that was previously negotiated for. This is what I would like. And I repeated the same thing we said before. this is what I would like. Can they prepare a fresh document for us to review that will replace that one? I really am not happy with that one either. Can we get a fresh one? And this is the figure that we are looking for. They replied me almost immediately. No problem. We'll send you a new document. Your figures are amenable to us. Simply because I paused, I read the body, the reactions of the people. Child of God, listen. Everybody has a button to be pushed. If you're willing to calm down and read the room. Paul showed us this with Philemon. Those of you that know the book of Philemon. Philemon was actually a personal letter. I actually don't know how it made it into the canon because this was a very personal letter. So Philemon was a rich man in a particular location. And Paul had also been his apostle. Paul had also grown him in the things of the Lord. Now, Philemon had a servant called Onesimus. Onesimus had run away from Philemon and ended up where Paul was. Paul had eventually led Onesimus to Christ, and Onesimus had become a very useful resource for the kingdom. But Paul felt, look, the right thing to do is to make peace with Philemon. So he told Onesimus to go back, and then he crafted a very intelligent letter. He wrote the letter on behalf of Onesimus, the runaway slave, to ensure a reconciliation between him and Philemon. He used Paul, used masterfully, I must add, his relational capital with Philemon to restore peace. That's the kind of wisdom that sustains success. Sometimes it's even the small things. Your greeting of that guard over and over again, you have no idea. You have no idea. The relationships you consider as minor that might end up becoming your joy. Do you think if Naaman was terrible to the maid in the house, that she would have known of a solution that would have helped the guy and she would have shared it with him? She would have deliberately ensured he never got that information. But I suspect, and it's easy for me to suspect that because everybody regarded Naaman as an exceptional human being. When she realized that this was such a good man, she offered him that information. And Naaman eventually got healed from his leprosy. Sadly, I've also noticed a major travesty. Many people pour themselves into learning how to manage people at work, manage people in the marketplace, but they neglect to master how to do the same at home. They lead teams with excellence, yet expect their families to lead themselves. True success is not managing relationships in one sphere and neglecting them in another. If you can lead a company at work, but cannot lead with love at home, you are not truly successful. The same leadership skill sets that you use in one, they generally will work in the other. In the end, the idea is to master the art of relationship management. I said this earlier on, I'll say it again. Your gift can get you through the door, but it is your skill in managing people that will keep you in that room. So here's your charge for today. Number one, keep your networks clean. Maintain relationships before you need them. Number two, control yourself in the presence of influence. Number three, choose negotiation over unnecessary conflict. Please pay attention to me. Number four, don't avoid hard conversations. Resolve them in love. There are parents that instead of dealing with issues with their children, they will stop talking to their children, giving your children silent treatment. It's affecting you more. You are teaching them foolishness. You are teaching them foolishness. And one day they will give you back what you have taught them to do. And then you begin to look for counsel after all I did for my child. Yes, including being a ridiculous example to them. It was part of all you did for them, and they have learned it, and they are giving it back to you. Don't avoid hard conversations. Resolve them in love. Read the room. Number five, read the room and interpret the moment before reacting. Number six, practice at home what you've mastered at work, because God blesses consistency. Listen, success, family, destiny, it all flows through relationships. Nurture them with wisdom. Nurture them with humility. Nurture them with love, and you will see God's hand move mightily in every area of your life. I implore you, learn how to master relationships. Learn how to master relationships. How to handle those above you. How to handle your peers. How to handle those under you. Learn how to master relationships. It is extremely essential. I hope I'm making sense. If this has blessed you, you need to ask yourself, okay, where do I need to apply this? You need to ask yourself, what am I doing to upskill my ability to handle relationships, particularly relationships of people in power? How do I need to manage that? Learn how to manage relationships, and people will willingly give you their best, and they will go over and beyond the call of duty. Learn how to master relationships. This is extremely important. Relationships, they make or break us. Your skill, I declare, is anointed afresh. You will operate in unparalleled wisdom. You will manage your relationships well. In Jesus' name.